Good morning, everyone. Pleasure to be here with you today. Many of you know me from my work in at Northland Bible Camp. One thing you might not realize about me is I've been involved with Northland now. I've been trying to figure it out since I've been sitting at the back there for approximately 14 years now, give or take a little bit. That's about when I first started going out to Northland. What some of you may not realize is that April 14th that just passed was the 9th anniversary of my second birthday. 9 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord, and Northland played no small part in that. Sure, many of you know Wayne Clark from the Iroquois Falls Bible Chapel. Be surprised if any of you didn't. He's such a mainstay here in the North. But through work, I got to know Wayne, and he'd often give me help with my vehicles and my rest buckets, or however you want to call them. And he'd very, very willingly give me of his time. And one time he invited me out to the Iroquois Falls Bible Chapel, and my answer to him was that I couldn't go there because I barely went to my own church. And working in a Catholic school, I couldn't be seen going to another church if I wasn't going to my own. Didn't make any sense. So he continued to work with me on vehicles and various other things. And one day he came to me and said, "I have a building project that I'm doing out at Northland, and I really don't know how to go about it, and I need a hand with that." After spending countless hours with me in the shops at school working on my many vehicles, I really couldn't turn them down. So since it wasn't a chapel and it wasn't a church or it wasn't any of these kinds of things, I went out and worked with him at Northland during the spring cleanup time. So Northland played a very important part in both my and Sarah's coming to the Lord. You know, we got to know the Donaldsons there and various other Christians, and really started to like the people that we met and started to wonder what was different about them. And at some point in time, not long after my son was born, my wife got ill, and through these trials, the Lord kind of brought me to my knees, and I gave my life to him. But the time that I had spent at Northland had played no small part in my ability to be able to do so. So I'm a little ashamed to admit that today the message that I have prepared for you comes from a little bit of a place of shame in my heart. Because one day a few years ago, we were looking to take on a new project at Northland, and one of my good friends asked me a question, a very simple and honest question, and he was not a Christian, and he asked me, "Why do you keep on taking new projects on at Northland?" And I wasn't really prepared to give him an answer, and I just said to him, I really feel driven by the Lord to do so. But I wish I would have had a stronger, more well-thought-out answer for him. And the message that I've prepared for you today is that answer to my friend. And I hope that someday I'll have him in somewhere at a chapel while I'm giving this message, and he'll have the opportunity to hear it. So I've broken this message up into three parts for us today. First being the biblical truths that guide my decisions when taking on new projects. The second being, what is it that I've learned through these various projects that I've taken on and various people have taken on with me at Northland. And the third one being, how can we apply these concepts in our lives? So before we delve into the meat and potatoes of this message, Let's take a few minutes and turn our time over to the Lord. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we pray that you would comfort those here who need comforting, Lord, and that you would shake each and every one of us to action, that we would be moved to choose to spend more time with your Son and to truly turn our lives over to him and give him the steering wheel, so to speak, Lord, that he would be able to guide our actions and our thoughts and our ways and the paths of our lives. All these things we pray in his most holy and precious name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to turn with me to Romans 12 and 1. Romans 12 and 1 reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So, for me, that's one of the first guiding truths that I try to apply when choosing to take on new messages at Northland. I'm not, by any means, a great Bible scholar. I'm not very gifted at preparing messages. I'm really glad that there's a pulpit here in front of me. You cannot see my knees shaking right now, but this is definitely not my spot. But I am a carpenter cabinet maker by trade, and I am able to offer my body in the service of the Lord. So I choose to do so. If you want to turn to Philippians 3, we'll read 12 to 14. Not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward for those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. When my friend asked me, why is it that you're taking on yet another project in at Northland? I wish I would have been able to tell him or share that thought with him, that what I did yesterday doesn't matter. What I need to do today is invite the Lord into my heart and ask him, Lord, what is it that you need of me today? Where is it that I can serve you at this moment? And in Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 9 reads, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words, which I command to you, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If we are to love the Lord with all of our hearts and teach our children to do the same, I can't think of a place that has more deepened the love that my son has for Christ than Northland. And for that, building a small building or putting in some time is a very, very small price to pay. On a side note, I really, really enjoy building stuff. I mean, I love that. You know, it's an amazing thing, but we're going to come back to that a little bit later. I also enjoy spending time away from the world. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And I teach, I'm a teacher, I teach in a secondary school, and I spend all of my time with young people who can at times be caught up with everything but the Lord. They're talking about their new cell phone, their new jeans, their new this, their new that. It can be a daunting 10 months throughout the winter. And then I get to camp, and I get to do things like walking on a conversation amongst a bunch of kids talking about who will take over morning devotions in the morning for the week to come without any prompting whatsoever. Followed by a young man speaking on the rebuilding of the wall and how everyone did their part no matter what their statue in life was, and drawing parallels to the project that we were working on in the construction of the new Greenwood Manor. It was really a really good in-depth message that really delved into the Word of the Lord. I was truly humbled when I learned a little later on that that young man was going to be going into grade 9 in September of that year. It was absolutely amazing. And that brings me to a good segue to illustrate my second point. You see, I really enjoy meeting new people and talking about the Lord with them. And you often get to pick up little gems of wisdom, like the one given to me by your very own Ted Bendel one day as we were discussing the book of Job, as we were pulling wires from the front of the new chapel all the way back to the sound booth. And he brought up a very interesting point for me, that there is a spiritual battle going on around us everywhere. And if you can't see that, you're probably a prisoner of war and don't even know it. Armed with that knowledge, don't you think that it's imperative to fill as much of our time as possible with the affairs of the Lord and going on working for His projects? My second point, the one that I really want to spend the most time on, is sharing with you a few of the lessons that I've learned through this project. If you want to turn to me with to the book of Job, and we'll turn to chapter 1 and verse 10. Here in the book of Job, we get to see a little bit of one of these spiritual battles. And we get to have the Lord's pull back the curtain on the spiritual things that go on around us a little bit. And He shows us some of what it is that goes on in heaven. So starting at chapter 10, "Have you not made a hedge around him, his household, and around all that he owns on every side?" This is Satan speaking to the Lord of Job. "You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions. You have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. We won't read through the entire book, but I'm sure each and every one of you would be better poised to expound it much more deeply than I would. But we know that Satan goes on to test Job, and he doesn't turn against the Lord. He shows him a deep and ongoing love. One of the very important lessons that I learned, especially last summer, working on this chapel project, is that God really didn't need me to build him a chapel. Okay? I went in with a little bit of that thought that, oh boy, you know, we're doing such great things and we're going to be doing this and we're going to be doing that. But we're talking about the Lord that spoke the world into being. His hands flung stars into space. And here I am, Pierre Elie of Iroquois Falls, thinking, oh boy, I'm going to build a chapel for the Lord. A little humbling when you stop and think that that really was not the case. But a little later in the book of Job, and it's really this book that taught me this lesson, Job kind of turns to the Lord and starts to question him. Not curse him to his face or anything, but he questions him. And the Lord answers him. And this was his answer to him. Let's turn to Job 38, and we'll start at verse 1. Job 38. It's interesting that one of the hardest jobs that we had to do in constructing the new chapel building last year was to set up the piers that would become the foundation of the building. The ground was really uneven and they were all different heights, where some of them were 13 inches tall sitting on top of the rock. The next one over was 9'7" or something like that. So it was a bit tricky to do. But when the Lord answered Job, then the Lord answered Job, and out of the whirlwind he said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding." It was quite humbling to read that and to think through the thought that while I was struggling to set up piers on a 50-foot building, the Lord, in one day, set up the piers and the foundations of the earth in speaking. "Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid the cornerstones?" Truly humbling series of thoughts. One of the really neat things that one gets to do when they spend a summer or donate a summer's time to Northland is to get to sit down and take in the messages of various speakers. And one of the neat, we get so many neat speakers in, and so everybody's top notch and really good quality. But one of the neat speakers that was in this year was Mark Anderson. And he gave a message that compared God to a gardener. And was explaining that God loves to cultivate things. And he gave a whole bunch of examples on that, and I'm not going to try and steal his thunder. Maybe you guys should have him out to give that message here someday, but I wouldn't be able to do it justice. But he pointed out, and I'm just going to share these quickly for the sake of time, but in Genesis 2 and 5, that before any plants of the fields was in the earth, and before any herbs of the fields had grown, the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, because there was no man to till the ground. See? And in John 15 and 5, he says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing." And in Matthew 25 and 36, Jesus goes into the garden to pray. See, the important thing that we're learning from all of this here is that the Lord spends time with you. Which each and every one of us, the Lord spends time. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read that, "Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord God is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you? And in John 10, we hear that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give them eternal life. Some beautiful thoughts that we have there. So the Lord wants to spend time with us. If you want to turn with me to Revelations 3, 20 and 21. Revelations 3, 20 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also have overcame and sat on my Father. Sat down with my Father on his throne. I always thought this verse meant that Christ was knocking at the door of unbelievers. But if you consider for just one moment that this letter was written to the church of the Laodiceans, the lukewarm church, you realize that it's for us believers. See, one of the most important lessons that I learned last summer about Christ through working on this project could be best summed up with a little bit of imagery. Not many of you would know my father, but my dad is a cabinet maker in Iroquois Falls of some repute. Not wanting to brag or anything like that, but he's quite good at what he does and is known for the exceptional quality of his workmanship. And those of you who have had the opportunity to meet Felix, my son, might know that the two of them love to spend time together. And I think of this project last year, this new Greenwood Manor that we built, in a very similar way as the relationship that my son has with his grandfather. See, many times Felix has gone to my dad, Frank, and said, "Hey, can I build you a box? You need a box to put your stuff in the shop, or you need a box to put stuff in the house, or whatever else." And my dad always says, sure, yeah. Why don't you do that?" He says, "Since you're here, why don't you go ahead and use the shop? You know, it's here, I'm not using it, it's the weekend, so go ahead and use my shop." So my son walks into the shop all proud and just kind of looks around and really doesn't know what he's doing. He says, "Well, what do you want to build your box out of?" Says, "Well, I want to build it out of wood." "Well, hey, there's a pile of wood over here. Why don't you go ahead and grab some of this wood, and since I'm in the shop now with you, why don't I give you a hand?" You know, and over the next couple of days, a little project takes place and it gets built and it turns out to be really, really nice looking. Really nice looking. And at the end, Felix walks out and he says, "Look, Grandma, look, Dad, I built this box for Grandpa." Right? And I see these projects at Northland Bible Camp being very much the same. At some point in time, at a board meeting of Northland, we decided that, very sadly, the Greenwood Manor was falling apart and it needed to be replaced. And we brought in engineers and we brought in all kinds of people to see if we could save it or whatnot, and we couldn't. So I went to the Lord and I said, "Lord, I want to build you a new chapel." And he said, "Sure, yeah. Why don't you go ahead and do that?" You know, and I said, "Well, Lord, this is going to cost a lot of money, and we don't have much money in the coffers, you know." And we prayed on that, and I came up with numbers, drew up some plans, and drew up some things, and came up with numbers, and went to the board and said, okay, this project should cost us about this much money. And we came in on budget. But all along throughout the project, we had amazing things happen. We were pricing out a tin roof, and I was praying on this because my initial plans had been a shingle roof, and things were looking a little bit more expensive. And I went to the Home Hardware in Eric Waffles and many other hardware stores and said, well, what would tin cost us? You know, and they gave me a price, and I prayed on it. And a little later on, somebody said to me, well, why don't you call this contractor? He's a Christian fella, and he might be able to help you out with this stuff a little bit. So I called this guy up and said, hey, we're looking to put a new roof on at Northland Bible Camp and whatever else. And could you give me a price? And he phoned me back a few days later, and he gave me a price for the job. And I said to him, kind of jokingly, because the price was obscenely lower than all of the hardware stores that I had priced out. And I said, well, this is installed, right? He said, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just let us know when you need us to go by, and we'll go by and we'll install it for you. You know? And we were looking to buy one of these motorized screens. Hadn't been put in the budget whatsoever, but I went to a local store in town here and was talking with the fella. And I said, I'm looking for a screen about this big. I can't remember. It was 50 inches or something that we were looking at to put in. And we're going to need a projector for it and all of this stuff. He gave me a price that was $450 for the screen, and I can't remember what it was for the projector. And he said, so where are you going to be using this anyways? I said, well, I'm going to be putting it in at the new Greenwood Manor that we're building out at Northland Bible Camp. He said, ah, get out of town. He says to me, do the Donaldsons still run the camp? I said, well, no, they still come by and visit a whole bunch and whatever else, but no, they don't run the camp anymore. You know, I spent a lot of time out at Northland when I was a kid. He said, this screen of yours, that's not going to work. You need a big screen. You need a great big screen, and you need a strong projector, and you need this, and you need that. And if any of you get to come out and enjoy Northland this summer, you'll get to see all these things going on in the Greenwood. And I said, well, we can't really afford all of this stuff, you know, or whatever else. Well, why can't you afford it? He says, it's $150 cheaper than the other one you were looking at. So, and it's, when you go back, and I look at all these projects and things, just like a kid, I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I want to build you a chapel, and I want it to cost $100,000. Well, we came in at $100,000. Not because I'm good at shopping, but because the Lord made it come in on budget. You know? And there were so many times where I'd be working away at the project and just working and working and working and working, and I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. And I felt like I had the responsibility of this project on my shoulders. It wasn't my project. And every once in a while, through a prodding of the Holy Spirit or something like that, there would be a moment where I would just break away from the project, go take a walk in the woods, and just pray to the Lord and say, Lord, this is your project. This isn't my project. I need some help here. I distinctly remember having that prayer one morning and then coming back out to the project and having a fellow approach me and go, hey, by the way, I noticed that this seems to be taking a toll and doing whatever else. I called my boss and he gave me a week off. I'm going to stick around and help you if you want the help. Well, I started to clue in at that point in time that this wasn't my project. This was the Lord's project. And like my son, I was building something for the Lord with his materials, with my limited abilities, with my limited capacities. But I was getting to walk alongside the Lord, work alongside the Lord, and to use my skills to serve Him. And that was a humbling and pleasing experience. There are chances that I could have sent more money to Northland if I would have chosen to work that summer. But it's not my money that the Lord desires. It's for me to open the door and to spend time with Him. The Lord can speak a chapel into existence that would have the new Greenwood Manor pale in comparison. You wouldn't notice it for the splendor and the beauty of its capabilities. My dad can build a box that is a million times nicer than the one Felix built for him. But that box that Felix built for him sits in a place of predominance on the mantle, on the fireplace in his house. Not because it's beautiful, but because his child built it for him. You know, and that's the case with the Lord and with working for projects with the Lord. In Matthew 17 and 20, Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." How many times do we try to do things or accomplish things in our own strength and just keep plowing away at it and suffer through things, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit's right there just waiting, just knock, just ask, "I'll help you. I'll get this done for you." But you have to ask. It's not enough to believe that you can. You have to come to the realization that you can't and that He can. It's nice to come to church on Sunday and receive our bread and our wine and all of our spiritual nourishment. But what is it that we're doing with these spiritual calories that we are consuming? Are we allowing them to become some belly fat around our belly? Are we getting out there and using them for the glory of the Lord? Allowing our bodies to be a sacrifice for Him. What's my next project? What's your next project? If I would have asked you, if you would have asked me that at the end of the building of the Greenwood Manor, I would have said, well, another building at camp this summer. But in between that time, the Lord has chosen to use me and my family to help out some families in need in Iroquois Falls. You know? And it was through that prayer time and that willingness to listen to Him that we were able to find that need and to help Him fulfill it. He's met all of our needs over the winter in doing these projects. And it's humbling to see just what a little bit of time can do. So, are you taking some time on after Sunday school to go and mow the old fellow's lawn across the lawn? Is the Lord moving you to go out to Afghanistan and tell the Taliban about the Lord Jesus Christ? In the end, does it matter what it is that you choose to do? I like to build. I said I'd come back to that a little bit later on. So that's what I choose to do, to spend time with the Lord. I'll never fill the shoes of Chester Donaldson at Northland Bible Camp. You know, I'm proud of myself when I put up a cabin in the summer. And I usually go back and sit on my sawhorse and look and then go, how did he do five? It's impossible. You know? But the important thing is that you find what it is that you love to do. No matter what that is, whether it be music, whether it be evangelism, whether it be helping out kids in another country, whether it be helping out kids with a youth group in town here, whether it be mowing the lawn. Doesn't matter. Find something that you love to do and ask your Heavenly Father if He'll do it with you. I can guarantee you the answer is yes. And allow yourself to use your skills and your abilities to serve Him. And I'll guarantee you one thing. It's really, really hard to try and outgive the Lord. No matter how much time and effort you put into a project, it's going to come back to you many folds. Might not be in the way you would expect, and He might lead your life down all kinds of crazy paths if you allow Him. But I can tell you one thing that's for sure. There's peace to be found in spending time with Him. My time is well past. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we turn to You this Sunday afternoon and we give You thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You thanks that He is with us, Lord, and we give You thanks for the strength that He gives us. We think of the various projects, Lord, that must move on at camp this summer. We think of camp startup and all of the water systems and all those things, Lord. We know that nothing is beyond Your reach, Lord, and we know that You will guide us in all of those things and that You will, in the end of the day, look after our needs as they are made known to You. All these things we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.